the service, and I just ask it in your name. Amen. It is, and I'm actually fixing to, we'll go ahead and do that real quick. It's not really something that we need to look over right now. I'll split it up between you. Yeah, you two can, no, you're okay. No, I'm glad you remember. this is just a little extra on top that we won't be really getting into, but it's something if you guys are interested after the study to look into and read. It'll be a blessing to you, just a little bit of history of really why the world is the way it is today, and just the culture, the opposing worldview of the biblical worldview and the humanist worldview, and how we got to this point. So it'll be a real blessing if you're really interested in it. And so anyway, tonight we're going to be kind of just an introduction to this. It'll be kind of explaining what we're getting into, why we're getting into it, and as Brother Doug said, this is the basic concepts of the Bible and the underlying truths of the Scripture. And I'm just going to kind of read through this part real quick, and then we can get into the main section of it. These are the basic concepts in any field of knowledge, just like in math. The basic concepts would include the following concepts of numbers, whole numbers, fractions, decimals, subtraction, multiplication, etc., stuff like that. Without understanding these basic concepts of math, it is impossible to go on to algebra or geometry or calculus. So without that understanding, obviously, we can relate there. You have to have a certain understanding of this principle to understand the next principle. And understanding its basic concepts of the Bible gives us the foundation to better understand the whole Bible. And so we're going to be looking at the orientation it provides for our life by explaining our relationship with God and an understanding of the foundational truths of the Scriptures. And transform our lives by giving us a new way of thinking, and it can help us determine how to best use our lives by helping us have better understanding of the times in which we live, which we'll get at towards the end, and hopefully that'll kind of culminate. There it is again. Point number one, we need to be oriented, and what we need to understand is what is orientation and why is it important. And orientation, as we all understand what disoriented means, or it's a lack of knowing where you are or what you're doing. It's really keeps you away from it's acting irrationally, maybe experiencing anxiety, and orientation is the opposite of that, obviously. We need orientation for every circumstance in life. It's a basic need, and it is important for, like I said, everyday life, work, school, situations like that, where it takes rational thinking to make things make sense. We need to be oriented to life, and so we become oriented in this life by answering what we would call universal questions. And so the next question would be, what are these universal questions? People all over the world at some point in their life ask these questions, and it's specific kinds of information. It helps us become oriented and understand the direction, the sense of direction we're heading. For example, and this has happened to me a couple of times, but when you're on a road trip and you're driving and you fall asleep for 2 hours and it's a five-hour trip and you wake up somewhere, you have to become oriented to that area. You have to understand where you're at, why you're there, how in the world you got there. It takes you a minute. I know it takes Jesse a minute sometimes to get to become oriented after she's fallen asleep in the car. I don't mean to call you out like that. Yes, it was good. But in situations like that, it's easy to relate to. When people awaken, they ask the same universal questions that we're about to go to. And those universal questions are, where did we come from? The origins. Why are we here? The purpose. What is right and wrong? Who is in charge? What is right and wrong? Morals. Who is in charge? Government. And what happens next? And that would be the afterlife, that question. And so what we want to look at is how these universal questions are based upon a person's concept of reality. So we want to look at what are the concepts of reality. We have to understand that what truly exists, it's what truly exists as the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And when I say that, it's the God, various gods, angels, and demons and stuff like that. Based upon their concept of reality, people answer the what we would call the universal orientation questions. And we, excuse me, got lost there. Our third point here is which concept of reality are influencing us and our culture. And so this is where we start to break down into the bigger picture of the biblical concept and the humanist concept. With the biblical concept, obviously, is the biblical narrative, and the humanist concept being the rejection of the Bible, and it looks to man for answers. Religions and agnosticism, atheism, and it's what we would call human religions. Our answer to the universal questions provide our orientation to life, which would be our worldview. And the biblical worldview answers these orientation questions. It's based upon the existence of the infinite God of the Bible. So obviously we ask ourselves the origin, where did we come from? Obviously God created and everything. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so that's our origin, the biblical purpose. Why are we here? We exist only to accomplish God's will and His will only. I had Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 marked out for this. It stood out to me when I was studying this. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me get there real quick. I should have had it marked. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. Having predestinated unto us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. We only live for His pleasure and His will. And so without this, this point to me stands out the most, because without God and His purpose, without it, all of it falls apart. So then we want to look at the biblical morals. What is right and wrong? Obviously, God's commandments are the standard. We see the Ten Commandments with Moses, the Lord Jesus continues to talk about that in Matthew. And then we want to look at the biblical standard for government. Who is in charge? Obviously, government should be protecting people from evil, which we could debate on probably at this point in life. And then we want to look at the biblical concept for afterlife, and obviously that's where the gospel comes in hand with, we go to heaven or hell. And then we want to look at the humanist worldview answers to these questions based upon the existence and compare these two. And so we want to look at the origins there. Where do we come from? Well, because there is no God, we just basically exist and have always existed, and all things are just here plus time. It's all chance, and it's all just it's evolution is what it is. It's just a concoction of nothing. And then we have to look at the humanist worldview purpose. Why are we here? Well, there is no God, and there is no mind directing anything there. So if there is no purpose, there's no God, no purpose. There is no ultimate purpose. Morals, what is right and wrong? Well, no God, it is amoral. Matter is immoral. And there is no universal standard for right and wrong. And then we want to look at government, who is in charge. And that basically boils down to whoever has more power. Government distributes resources to establish peace. Ultimately, God is the higher power, and we know that looking into this. And we exist to accomplish His will. It goes back to purpose. But in this particular scenario, government, it's a game. It's a strategy game. It's a power game. And then afterlife, the humanist worldview of that is, there is no afterlife. You're done. That's it. And it's, I read that, and when you read it like that, it's sad. It's hopeless. And it's just really, if we don't exist to accomplish God's will, then we exist for nothing, period. And I praise God that He's made that known to me personally. I do want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes. If I can get there myself. My goodness. Chris, do you have that? I should have. Chapter 12. If somebody's there, I'd just really appreciate it if you'd read that. It would be verses 13 and 14. I'm trying to remember why I had that in there. Thank you, Brother Bill. I appreciate that. all right. Our third point running into this is it runs into culture and the orientation of their culture. And it has entitled here, Monkey See, Monkey Do. Many aspects of our lives are determined by our culture. And what I mean by that is you grow up somewhere, or you're born somewhere, you're born into a specific area, you learn about its the way of life in that situation, that culture itself, the music, the apparel, everything, food. I mean, you break it down to social relations, religion. We absorb most of these qualities without question, which, obviously, you're born into it, that comes naturally. We are influenced by our culture before we know what is happening. For example, we do not choose our first language. We prefer foods of our own culture, and we consider foods of other cultures to be repugnant without even tasting them, which I can attest to. Sometimes that gets to me. Yeah. We become biased or prejudiced against other viewpoints, people, etc. And in some cases, obviously, this can become ungodly. The humanist worldview just completely falls to pieces. If the biblical worldview doesn't work, then the rest of it just falls apart, in my mind, just speaking about it. We have to ask ourselves what makes it so easy to be adopted into this culture, or to adapt to that culture. And it's our culture is shaped by platforms of influence. And so we want to look at what are the platforms of influence, and why do we want to talk about it? Well, it's what it is respected positions. It's people that look for answers and solutions. We could say government, entertainment, celebrities, people of higher power or in higher power. I think heavily on politics for sure. Seniority we have to think, how do these platforms of influence affect the culture? Well, people view these positions as authoritative. They come flocking to them. They come running to them, and they base all their worldview on the individual of specific authoritative power, so to speak. Journalists or celebrities. Celebrities, especially. We were actually. I was talking to Brother Doug yesterday, and he mentioned Taylor Swift. What a joke. I mean, you know, but people come flocking and like, what does Taylor do? What will Taylor do? Maybe I'll do what Taylor does, you know, and it totally distracts you from the real purpose of God, the Bible. And the way it works in our lives personally. It continually expresses ideas based upon solely the platforms of influence. Their worldview. And so although they rarely address basic reality concepts, platforms of influence do provide answers to orientation questions. They'll answer the questions of origin by teaching theory of evolution without even discussing the theology of the Bible and the legitimacy of the existence of God. They just totally push it off. I mean, we can see that in the schools today, for example, the government. I mean, it's been pushed out almost completely. And it all started probably when they took school or the Bible out of school, and all that stuff is when it really started going downhill. Platforms of influence provide orientation by providing answers to the universal questions. I think I just went over that, didn't I? I did. Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to that. Okay. They push narratives. I want to get to that part. Discussing the legitimacy of believing in the existence of God, and they push narratives. A lot of people push narratives, and so it's important to think critically for ourselves, and love nothing more than the truth and the truth of God's word. And so we want to see what results when differing worldviews affect a culture. And we can understand that when you, I kind of see it as like marriage. When you get married to somebody, you want to marry somebody that has the same viewpoints as you, has the same idea and the ideals of God, the church and everything. You really, you want to be closely knit in how you believe and what you believe. And so if you marry somebody outside of the will of God, well, it causes conflict. And it occurs at all levels between individuals, not just marriage, probably mostly marriage, but friendships, I mean, all of it. It causes chaos between people when they don't see eye to eye. There's an example in here of two magnets being placed on a table, and you have a bunch of iron fillings that are sat down in there, and you have some fillings pulling to the humanist side and some pulling to the biblical. And what you see there is a group of, in the middle, that is just kind of just being pulled back and forth, back and forth. And relatively few people hold a consistent worldview. They ride the fence, and this can create chaos, hypocrisy. And people are just not content with the way they're living, because it's an inconsistent way of life. It's pulling you apart, basically, spiritually. Maybe physically. I mean, it probably wears somebody out getting involved in that. And so we might ask ourselves, what difference does it make which concept of reality one accepts? Well, it makes a difference in how one deals with his personal life. I've actually been studying, I'm going to Brother Steve's church this weekend, and I've been studying a little bit in Acts chapter 16, and this kind of goes a little bit in it. I'm going to read it real quick, and then I'll give the analogy, but life is stressful and full of anxiety, and how a person responds to the difficulties of life is based upon what he perceives as his resources. Does he face life with only his wisdom and resources, or is he using the knowledge and the understanding of the Bible that's been put in front of him? I think about, and Paul is just a great example. I love reading Acts. It's been a blessing to me so far, and I know it will continue to be. But you see, as they were thrown into the inner part of the prison, Paul knew what he believed. Paul knew exactly who his heart belonged to. And you see how he praised and rejoiced in the inner part of the prison. He responded to the difficulty and to these difficulties in life well. I mean, completely correctly in all circumstances, all because of his resource in God. He had a resource completely available to him, just like we have this resource completely available to us. And it's been passed down for generations and generations for us to follow the examples. And so it's important how we respond to the life situations that happen, and knowing, well, what can I go to if something like this does happen? These big trials in our lives. Well, we have the Bible, we have the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And so your decisions in life are affected deeply by who you trust, yourself, or God. It makes a difference also in personal relationships, how we view other people. I think this could probably... I mean, I don't know how I don't want to do this. How do we see other people in our lives? Do we value them? Or do we put them on? Is there a dividing factor between us and other people? Are we to love and treat them with respect and love, or are they just to be used and discarded? And this one's pretty interesting to me. And the first thing that popped into my mind was abortion. We treat, we really do see the humanist side of it very clearly. You see these people there. I mean, and it doesn't affect them. It doesn't bother them to take a human life. And it just, you know, the other side of it's just completely wrecked, which I can say it really bothers me. Abortion really bothers me. And I think we could all agree with that, obviously. And so I see the value of a human life just completely degraded to zero on the humanist view of it. And so it's important to understand, you know, God created us. God created you. It's important to love and respect each other just as that. It also makes a difference in group relationships. Are some groups of people inferior to others, or are all human beings of equal value? I kind of think of cliques. You know, sometimes we get into cliques in life, and you know, people, there's just this certain people that accept me, and these other ones over here are, you know, I'd rather just not. No, we're here together, and this is a team. This is God's body. This is the body of Christ, and we are to act as it. It's important to understand that people are not inferior one way or the other, and we are all of equal value. It also makes a difference in national relationships. Do nations have sovereignty to be respected, or are they simply just clusters of humans to be used by others as they wish? And then, you know, it says in here, there's been a lot of history, immeasurable suffering, when nations have sought to impose their worldview upon others. We see the, you know, World War I, World War II, and we see that, you know, Germany and all, I mean, it's just, it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And, you know, it becomes a real problem. And, you know, I think of also America, the sovereignty, you know, you can't have sovereignty without borders. And you think of the southern border and all the illegal immigrants coming in. No, it's to be sovereign, it's to be cut off. It should take work, it should take dedication to become part of this country. That's to be respected. It also makes a difference in eternity. If the biblical concept of reality is correct, there is eternal torment in hell or eternal joy in heaven. And a person's decision regarding God determines one's eternal experience. It does make a huge difference. We all know here is, which I'm talking to saved Christians, we all know here that the difference in knowing how close we are to hell when we get saved, how close we really are to it. And by God's grace, He's given us the out, so to speak, salvation itself in Christ. And so we should examine the basic concepts of the Bible in order to understand and apply the biblical worldviews to our lives. We have to ask ourselves, for what reasoning? And it's to gain an orientation for our life, explaining our relationship with God, and to gain an understanding of the foundational truths of Scripture, or the faith that we hold on to so tightly, and to transform our lives by giving us a whole new way of thinking. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's important for us to understand why we hold to these things, and why we call it the faith, why we hold on to it so tightly. It can't be for nothing. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's all for Christ's sake. But it's important to understand why, and deeply why. And it's also here to help us determine how to best use our lives, by helping us to have a better understanding of the times in which we live. In 1 Chronicles 12, chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Verse 32. The Bible says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Excuse me, sorry. So it's important for us to understand, well, where do we go from here, and which way do we go? Understanding of the times in which, you know, what are we preparing ourselves for here? And so I really hope I can. I thank you guys for your patience on this, because it's gonna take me a while to really be able to. I just pray you have grace with me. This is new, and I am excited about it, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you guys. And I know it has been for me, as Brother Doug's gone through it with us, and I really don't want to confuse anybody. And I hope that if you have questions, you'll talk to, Well. That is the introduction of it, and I've given out this paper, and as I was telling Brother Doug yesterday, I felt like it'd probably be a good idea to print it off and let you guys have that, just as a little extra, maybe a little homework or something to read on to until our next study, but it just kind of gives a historical background as to why things are the way they are now, and it just breaks it down just a little more than it has already. And next week we'll be looking at the law of sin and death, and kind of breaking down into the law of God and the importance of the spiritual realm itself. And so, anyway, Brother Doug, I think I'll hand it over to you.